Turn in your Bibles this morning to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews and to Ephesians, the third chapter. Hebrews chapter 13 and Ephesians chapter 3. Now, while you are turning, I have one very special prayer request. At this moment, Brother Ratliff is preaching at the Emmanuel Baptist Church out on the old Tyler Highway. Their new pastor, Brother Niles, will be there for the service tonight. But Brother Ratliff is helping this morning and has requested that we pray for him in a very special way. And I hope that you will continue to pray for the Emmanuel Baptist Church and for Brother Niles, who is truly a man of God, that the Lord will bless his labor and his ministry in this town. My subject this morning is things that break the shepherd's heart and blockade a church's power. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. But under the chief shepherd or the under-shepherds? For Peter refers to this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, when he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye are the under-shepherds, those who tend to the Lord's flock in this world, shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away. Now don't forget the subject. Things which break the shepherd's heart and blockade power in a church of the living God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul said, unto him be glory in the what? Read it to me. In the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the place that the Lord receives honor and glory this morning from the life of any saved person in this world is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The place He'll receive honor and glory in every generation. And in the ages which are to come, even in eternity, is the church of the living God. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Or rather, 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His precious word. In this 17th verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the Bible points out that one of the responsibilities of an under-shepherd or a pastor of the Lord's sheep is to watch for the souls of those that have been placed by the Lord in His care. And the verse says that the under-shepherd must give an account. That is, he must give an account to God. And the Bible says that he may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for ye. Now let me illustrate before developing the message. While Brother Darby was bringing the devotional this morning, the telephone rang and I answered it, and on the other end of the line was a very, very distraught woman, weeping and crying, telling me all the problems of her daughter and her son-in-law, and pleading with me to do something. And I said to this dear lady, I said, now, the root of their problem is the fact that for months and months they have not darkened the door of the house of God. The root of their problem is that the Lord has been left out of their lives. The root of their problem is something that is spiritual and not material. And I want to tell you by the authority of God's Word this morning that anybody who leaves the Lord out of his life or her life, who is a professed Christian, is headed for some sort of trouble as sure as I stand preaching the Word of God. The pastor must give an account. He would love to do it with joy and not with grief. Now listen to this verse, Jeremiah 12 and 10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. There are the wrong kinds of pastors. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. And the people of God are not to be trampled upon or trodden upon. The people of God are to be fed. Thus saith the word of the Lord from the book of God. Amen. Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare all the counsel of God unto you." He mentions the church in the next verse, the 28th verse. He said to the Ephesian elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own," what? Tell me. "With his own blood." And so the church that you are to bring glory to God in has been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the right kind of pastor will be feeding the church, not with the latest consensus of opinion or denominational shucks. He'll be feeding the church, thus saith the word of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:17 through 18, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it first began at us. If it first began at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" And I read in the book of 1 Corinthians 12:18, "But now hath God set the members in the body, every one of them, according as it hath pleased him." And so I'm telling you this morning, in God's sight, church membership is a serious thing. And pastoring a church is a serious thing. And I want you to leave here knowing some things that break the shepherd's heart and blockade the power of the church of the living God. Now you get on the wagon and you stay with me. Number one, one thing that will break the shepherd's heart and one thing that will blockade the power of the church is a group who just joined the church. And one of the most despicable terms that a spiritual preacher can hear is that I'm going to join the church. A lot of people, first of all, join the preacher. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul pens these words, "For while one saith, I am of Apollos," one church member is saying, "I am of Apollos," and another, "I am of Paul, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For who is Apollos and who is Paul, but by ministers by whom ye believed, according as God gave to every man? I have planted and Apollos watered, and God gave the increase." 1 Corinthians 3:21, We ought to glory in the Lord and not in men. And when a person joins the church just because of the preacher, he is on a false foundation. We do not need people joining the preacher today. And then some not only join the preacher, some join the program of a church. And I want to reiterate something else with all the force of my soul this morning, that God Almighty never has given a New Testament church but one program, and I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake and said, "All authority or all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or the consummation of the age." Now the program the Lord gave the church is to preach the gospel to every creature and make disciples from every nation. And that's still our responsibility this morning. And after you got them saved, after they have been discipled, you ought to baptize them. And that's why I disagree with your high-powered evangelists and your union campaigns that say, go join the church of your choice. No Christian shall join a church that doesn't honor the truth about scriptural baptism this morning. And then when you baptize them, teach them. So the program of the Lord's church is getting people saved, baptizing them, and teaching them. And here's one Baptist preacher that will look every other Baptist preacher in the eye and tell you there's no other program in the Lord's church. Now there's a lot of nonsense today, and a lot of paraphernalia, and a lot of pomp, and a lot of personnel, but all of this is the thought of power. God has one program, getting people saved, baptizing them, and teaching them the word of the Lord. But some join the program. Listen, if you will, very carefully to Romans 14:17-18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And he that in these things, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost, and he that in these things serveth Christ, is approved of God and acceptable to man. Brother, if we're serving the Lord, it'll be in righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost, and that will be acceptable to God, and it will be approved of men that know anything about spiritual things that are received and revealed in the book of God. And then some join the proselytes. This breaks the shepherd's heart. This blockades the power of the church. When people join the preacher or the program or the prosperous, I can take you to the book of Revelation and I can show you a church that says, "I am rich and increase with goods, and I have need of nothing." And a lot of folks want to join a church where they don't have any responsibility, where they can get lost in the crowd, where if they don't show up for the preaching of the Word of God, nobody will miss them. They don't want ever to feel that they have a responsibility to do anything, and so they look for that prosperous, rich church where they can do everything they want to do with their means and material, and they want to be identified with the prosperous, but they do not want any responsibility. And I read in the book of Proverbs 17:1, and you remember this verse of Scripture. It says, and listen carefully, it says, "Better is a dry morsel, a dried out piece of bread." You ever try to eat a piece of toast that's laying on the cabinet 3 or 4 days? Better is a dry morsel with quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices for strife. Ecclesiastes 4 and 6 says, better is an handful with quietness and peace than both the hands full with strife and vexation of spirit. And brother, I'd rather belong to a church, now you listen to me, that's struggling, that's keeping her nose above the water, yet struggling, that gives the Lord the honor and the glory and the praise for all of her gifts and her blessings, than to belong to the prosperous that say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, when in God's sight they are poor and miserable and wretched and blind and naked. God said it, and we better believe it today. Now, another thing that will break the great shepherd's heart and the under shepherd's heart, and don't you think Jesus' heart can't be broken? Because in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, verse 37, when he looked over the wicked city of Jerusalem, his heart was broken. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, and them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee under my wings as a hen doth her brood, or a chicken doth her brood, and you would not. His heart was broken when he wept over the city of Jerusalem, and there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when his disciples couldn't watch with him 1 hour, his heart was broken. His blood, his sweat was mixed with blood, as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And on the cross of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The heart of the Lord was broken, and today you still have in your capacity to break the Lord's heart. Your children ever broken your heart? Answer me. Your children ever broken your heart? You think the Lord loves you any less? You love your children. That's why he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed under the day of redemption. Now, those who just join the lie, B-E-L-I-E, they be lying. They pretend. Another thing that will break the shepherd's heart are those who judge. Those who judge. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged again. And there are many who belong to the Lord's church who are super judges. They could teach any judge who's been on the court for 30 or 40 years a lot of things he's never thought of or heard of. And one of the things they're quick to judge in is their own brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, where the Apostle Paul said, we dare not number ourselves among them who commend themselves. And let me drive this little peg down. I'm afraid of any preacher, deacon, church member, or anybody else that's always bragging about how good he or she is. We dare not number ourselves among them that commend themselves or measure themselves by themselves. For they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And I believe God's children ought to be beneficent and kind and living in their judgment of their brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then some like to judge their church by another church. Like to judge their church by another church. Now I'm talking about New Testament churches this morning. And when any church member begins to judge his church by some other church, there's evidence right there he doesn't have his heart in his own church. And there are many good Baptist churches in this town and surrounding areas. And you'll never hear Brother Brunson say one thing against any New Testament church in this city, in this county, or this world. But I'll tell you something else. As far as I'm concerned, there's not but one church in this town. Do you hear me? And that's the one that I belong to. And the only place I have any business, church-wise, is in Tabernacle Baptist Church. And the only church where you have any church business, scripturally speaking, is in the church where your membership is. And I believe with all of my soul this morning that every church has a separate and distinct and different personality, just like every Christian and just like every preacher. I know some churches that are known for their great singing. I know some churches that are known for the spirit of happiness that always seems to prevail. But brother, I believe each church is a separate, independent, visible body in the eyes of the living God with only one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, now there was in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Simon that is called Niger, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod and Tetrarch and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And here in the church at Antioch were some great, powerful men that God had called to preach the gospel. And wouldn't it be wonderful if God were to reach down in our membership and anoint some young man and call him to preach the gospel that would become a flaming evangel for the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Here at Antioch, men like Paul. Here at Antioch, men of great power and teaching ability. That church fasted and prayed and sent them away. But you know what? The church at Galatia was different. The church at Ephesus was different. And so I'm saying that we should compare our church, but not by some other church, but we should compare our church by thus saith the Word of God. Now these things break a pastor's heart, a shepherd's heart, the Lord's heart. They blockade the power of the church. When people, now listen to this, began to judge their family by others. I hear young mothers and daddies sometimes say what their children are going to do or aren't going to do. They got a lot to learn, Deacon J.L., isn't that right? They got a lot to learn, Deacon New. They got a lot to learn, a lot to learn. And then sometimes when your family is caught between the vicissitudes of life, and you look at another family that you think that's just fair and all sweet and rosy, then you begin to compare one family by another family, and oh, you listen to your preacher this morning, you listen to your preacher, the only family this morning, the only family that's on a firm foundation is that family that's on a solid rock. That family that's on the solid rock. And I'm warning every one of you men, if you don't have your families on the rock, you better get them there. And if you don't get them there, then there is no place of refuge. There is no place of safety. And so those who judge other churches by their church, who judge other brethren by themselves, who judge other families by their own and make comparison and think one family is better than another, then these are those who belittle. And if you can't say something good about your brethren, you shouldn't say anything. If you can't say something good about your church, where your membership is, keep your mouth shut. If you can't say something good about your family, and you husbands and wives, you listen to me. Don't you ever be guilty of saying something derogatory about your wife or about your husband or about your children or somebody else. Your family is a separate unit, just like the church is a separate body. And let me tell you something. You be not found guilty of belittling. It's a sin in God's sight. Another thing that grieves the shepherd is those who Judas. And when we think of Judas, what do we think of? Betrayal, that's right. Those who just joined the lie, those who judge belittle. But then there are those who have their names on the church roll who just Judas. They betray. They betray the Lord who bought them. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And hear me this morning, when people began to betray, and when they began to backslide, and when they began to crawfish, they forget the ignominious suffering of Jesus on Calvary. And if they could just get one more glimpse of the price that was paid for their sins, if they're really saved, they'd be some second thought. And those who betray, not only Judas, with reference to the Lord who bought them, and I want to lay this on the line this morning, they betray the pastor who taught them. I don't know very much about history this morning. I know very little about medicine. I know nothing much about physiology and psychiatry. But I say this as humbly as I know how to say it. I believe I know this book. I don't believe I know it. I know I know it. And I'd meet with any university professor or theological doctor anywhere in the world and debate this old book and give chapter and verse for what I believe to be revealed in the Word of God. What I'm simply saying is my life has been given to the study and the meditation and the assimilation of this old book. And next to seeing people saved, the joy of my heart has been teaching people the truth of the Word of God. And one of the qualifications of the preacher is to be out to teach. No man should be ordained to the gospel ministry that can't teach. A preacher is to be qualified to teach. And when church members Judas, they not only deny the Lord who bought them, they deny the pastor who taught them. That's right. And they betray the Spirit who wrought them. You see, you'd still be in your sins this morning if one day God's Spirit hadn't just reached down and wrought you from your wretchedness and brought you to the foot of the cross. And when the Spirit gets hold of somebody, it's a lot different to this high-pressure evangelism where people are herded down the aisles of a church. It's a lot different to these little things that go on in some Sunday school departments where children are told to join the church. You see, that's all a lot of some church members have, is just church membership. That's all they have. And there's a vast difference in just coming down the aisles of a church and saying, I want to be a member of this church, and the Spirit of God literally reaching down and touching your heart and convicting you of your lost condition And in your helplessness, you cry out to God, and God's Spirit works a work of grace in your heart. It is the Spirit of God who affects salvation and not something you do. But when you Judas, you not only deny the Lord who bought you, the pastor who taught you, but the Spirit who wrought you. Another thing that will break the Lord's heart, the under-shepherd's heart, blockade the power of a church, is those who justify. Those who just join, delight. Those who judge, belittle. Those who Judas, betray. And those who justify, bewail and befog and besmear and bemoan. Now let me illustrate. Self-justification is one of the ugliest sins in the eyes of God. First, for the sinner. Every lost man outside of Christ is dead in trespasses and in sins, and there is no possible way by works or any other thing in this world that the sinner can ever, by his own power, justify himself in the eyes of God. I'm simply saying that a man cannot work for salvation. If he's ever justified, he'll be justified wholly by the grace of God. Are you familiar with Matthew 7? Where many will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never what? I never knew you. They tried to justify themselves. But sad, is when a person has been saved and has become a member of the Lord's church, that gets cold and indifferent and calloused and unconcerned and sorry, and then starts justifying his sins. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. Now I'm going to hammer a little right here. I'll start in the pulpit, and I'll go to the back of the building, and there's not a person in this building that's free from sin this morning. On the other hand, I'm saying to you by the authority of God's Word that if you're truly saved, you are ashamed of every sin that you committed last week. You are ashamed of every sin that you've ever committed since you have been saved. And even though you will never be free from sin, as long as you're in this old bondage of clay, you'll be striving always not to sin, that you might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard men take God's name in vain and justify themselves. I'm talking about professed Christians, and the Apostle Peter did it, and then justify themselves and say, well, it's just a habit. I've seen people take out of the traces and then say, well, it's just so hard to get started back after you once get out. And then some justify their slothfulness. Do you know it's easier to get in the average church than it is the Kiwanis Club, the Lions Club, the Red Cross, the Masonic Lodge, or the PTA? That's right. Pitiful. And the rules in the Masonic Lodge, and the Kiwanis Club, and the Rotary Club, and some churches are more binding and stringent than they are in some churches. And that stinks in God's sight. I take the bellyache, some of you. I'm talking about things that matter. I'm talking about things that matter. Romans 12 and 11 says that we are not to be slothful in business, that we are to be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. And I want to get down on my knees. When I say that if someone wants a church, no, vice versa, if some went to their jobs on Monday morning with a fervency that they come to the Lord's house, they'd be fired before the clock struck 12. If some didn't think any more of their jobs than they do their Lord and their church and their under shepherd, they would never again darken the place of employment. But you let something in the world come up and they can get all worked up over a program that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. They can get involved in community projects that we ought to leave for the unsaved for the accomplishment of the unsaved, or let the unsaved take care of these worldly projects. And God's people ought to sit busy and be fervent in spirit serving the Lord, and they ought to let the world go its merry way this morning. And there are those who just justify their slothfulness by saying, well, after all, I'm not so bad anyway. And then there are those who not only justify their sins and their slothfulness, but their sponginess. Now, you won't find that word in the dictionary. I made it up. Sponginess. I'm thinking of a family. Well, I can think of several families that have fine children, and yet one in the family will be a sponge. Mom and daddy will sacrifice and break their hearts to take care of a sorry, stinking sponge. Take away from others to feed that sponge. And when church members sponge on the Lord and leave the responsibility to the preacher and the few that come on Wednesday night, and they don't recognize their responsibility, you're sponging. You're freeloader. You're taking a free ride. And there's nothing in the Lord's service that's free this morning. Nothing. David said, I will not offer the Lord my God that which doth cost me nothing. And everything that we have belongs to the Lord today. And the same God who gave it to us could take it away from us in a minute's time. And the thing I'm telling you as your pastor this morning is that a sponge is one who always takes in but never puts out. Now, if you'll squeeze it, it'll put out. If you'll squeeze it. Now, you think I'm just talking about money, don't you? But I'm not. No. I'm talking about dedication. Did you know that 1/7 of your time belongs to the Lord? 1/7 at least belongs to the Lord. Did you know that we can sponge on the Lord? We can sponge on His cup. And we need to realize that the Bible says no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. And if you justify your sins and your slothfulness and your sponginess, then you need a revival this morning. Things that break a shepherd's heart and blockade a church power. Those who just join, they be lying. Those who judge, they belittle. Those who Judas, they betray. And those who justify, they be fog and be smear and be cloud the issue. In conclusion, our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:14, you are my friends
if you do whatsoever, I command you.
Our Father, bless this message to the good of the church and to the glory of our precious Lord. And we'll give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.